welcome your ears to a Monday edition of the Triple Option with RBKD on the horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming live all the time, when and wherever you may be, live, local, and digital, on the Horn app, on Twitch, and at hornfm.com. On today's show, could the SEC be adding more than just Texas and Oklahoma? Plus, we have ourselves a real football game this week. Sam Ellinger just became a little bit more important, and the Horn Top 20 Countdown officially gets underway. Joined alongside by a lifetime Longhorn and a lifetime Austinite. He's so much of a man, they had to take one of his balls away to keep it fair for the rest of us. He knows where your IT guy's IT guy went to college. He is Kevin Dunn. KD, what's going on?
Doing great. Good weekend. We had a busy week, both of us, and just needed some R&R. You probably didn't get that. You were probably downtown. I was getting bike rides in, sleep, rest, catching up, feeling productive. Good weekend.
Do bike rides count as R&R?
Well, it gets you to that point.
Okay.
To where, you know, you're ready to take a nap. So
yeah,
I took one.
And to me, bike rides are the opposite of that, man. That's a bigger chore than any work-related thing I could ever have.
Yeah, right.
Physical exercise, not for me.
How are you?
Good, man. I'm good. Good weekend. Thanks for holding it down on Friday.
Yeah.
But good to be back in the greatest city in the world. I'll be here as well. BK, Brad Kellner, together. We are the Triple Option with RBKD, rocking and rolling until 7 o'clock here on the Horn. We appreciate y'all spending some or all of your Monday afternoon with us. Hope everyone had a fantastic weekend. No Rod B today. Of course, Rod, we know he had a fantastic weekend.
We hope.
We hope. According to sources,
yeah,
he had a fantastic weekend. Rod Babers officially tying the knot to his now wife on Saturday nights.
Yes, sir. Well done.
So we're happy about that. We're celebrating that, but we're also pouring one out for independent Rod because he is no longer with us.
Here's the good news. As he pointed out, he was dead years ago.
That is good news.
Like, you never knew him. I knew him in a little bit in college, and as I told you, man, different guy.
Yeah.
In a good way.
He was better in college?
You would think so. You.
I would think so. Yeah, most people probably would disagree.
Yeah. They'd go, oh, you know, he's matured, but.
Yeah, I've only known relationship Rod. Now I know married Rod.
Yep.
I guess I haven't seen Rod since he's gotten married, so I don't know married Rod yet. Hopefully he doesn't.
I hope he doesn't change.
I was going to say, like, he'll be back on Thursday. I'm hoping he's just not a completely different person. There's like a 0% chance that happens, but I don't know. I don't know.
I think it helps out they were kind of already married.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
They pretty much were.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been living together for a long time.
Right.
They did the whole COVID thing together, and yeah, he's going to be the same
guy.
That
was a good test.
Yes, for anyone in a relationship, if you could go through COVID with somebody, because not only are you living with that person, but odds are you weren't going to work, and you weren't traveling.
Yep.
So, like, normally you have stuff to take you out of the house and get you away from your significant other, but for the last 15, 16 months, you haven't really been able to do that. So if you could survive that deal, yeah, I think you could survive just about anything as a couple.
Divorce has been floating around 50% for a little while now, but I'm going to buy more post-COVID marriages. I just am.
Okay.
I'm going to up that a little bit and whenever I'm setting the line. By the way, I am the guy setting the line on marriages.
Cool.
I know you're checking them out in Vegas.
I was about to say, you know my cousin's going to be calling about those.
Yeah.
So I'll take any intel you've got.
Annulment, you triple it.
So how long does that last? How long does your confidence in post-COVID marriage last? Like a year from now, are we back to normal confidence level?
I'm going to give it like 2 years.
2 years?
2 years.
That's the window?
Obviously, you had to have spent the whole time together.
Right.
And it's like, that tested it, and we knew we could get married. I'm going to go, all right, I'm going to buy it.
I like that. So Rod B will be back with us on Thursday. It's the speed option, the read option, whatever you want to call it. Until then, still very, very effective, though. Plenty of football to talk about. More realignment conversations to be had. We'll get into this Quinn Ewers news, which dropped earlier today. Potentially a monumental day for high school sports.
This is the easiest summer of sports radio history.
Ever, dude. Ever.
And
ever.
We love baseball.
Yeah.
We're talking about for you, the listeners. So you don't get 3 hours of BK and I talking about how the lineups have changed.
Mm-hmm. We're taking care of y'all. Well, actually, we're being taken care of
by
all of the happenings in college sports and everything surrounding college sports. So we'll get into the Quinn Ewers stuff. We'll get into conference realignment. Carson Wentz injured in Indianapolis. What does that mean for Lifetime Longhorn Sam Ellinger? All things we need to discuss.
Or Westlake. Because there are some reports right now.
But is Cade Klubnik going to forego his senior season at Westlake, forego Clemson, and join the Indianapolis Colts right now? Is that what you're reporting here?
No. Okay. Joey Butterbee is. He's one of Nasir's eighth graders right now.
Is that his actual name?
No.
Butterbean?
I don't know who the eighth grade quarterback is for Westlake, but
it's probably good.
They were talking about Cade.
Yeah, that's generally how it works. Whoever the eighth grade QB at Westlake is usually solid.
No, reports that Nick Foles could be headed there.
That'd be insane.
So you got Sam Ellinger and Nick Foles.
Yeah.
And there's another Westlake guy on the team.
Yes.
They drafted him
this year.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name.
I'll get it here in a second.
This is your fault. You're the Westlake guy. You should know this type of stuff.
I know.
Yeah. How funny would it be if Carson Wentz and Nick Foles are on the same team again? Can you do that to Carson Wentz? Like, it's tough because you got to do what you got to do to win, and Nick Foles probably gives you a better chance than Jacob Eason and rookie Sam Ellinger to do that, just with what we've seen from Foles over the course of his career. But you run the risk of pissing off Carson Wentz from day one, which is not an ideal situation for a franchise. So we'll get into that story. So much to talk about. Some good news, though, for Texas on the recruiting front over the weekend. Texas did land a commitment for the class of 2022 on Saturday. Four-star defensive end Derek Brown choosing Texas over Baylor. Also a number of other schools. Oklahoma offered, A&M offered, TCU, Penn State, and a number of other reputable programs from around the country. Derek Brown ranked as the number 16 edge rusher in the country, according to the 24/7 Sports Composite. And KD, apparently Texas pitched a Joseph Osai type of role to Derek Brown. He said, quote, "They see me as a defensive end and outside linebacker, like a hybrid type. I like that because I'm already doing it in high school. Sacking the quarterback makes money," end quote. Yes, indeed. That absolutely does make money. So another defensive lineman, KD. We're excited about the D-line this year. Feels like one of, if not the strongest and deepest position groups on this Texas football roster at the moment. And Sark and company not stopping a big get on the edge for 2022.
Yeah, I mean, took a visit to Oklahoma watching his film. He was standing up most of the time and was coming off the edge. There's an interception where he plays it, you know, well. But, yeah, that's what he's going to do. And that's where I think Kwiatkowski can really talk a lot of 6'3", 210-pound guys. Now, he's going to add to that frame. So, look, a lot of these guys, they get into a real weight program and are really getting nutrition and different meals and eating a bunch of them. And they can very quickly, we've seen running backs turn into defensive linemen here.
Yep.
Guys that can very quickly grow into that. Gary Patterson has kind of based a whole recruiting philosophy off of that. And so 6'3", 210, like the video, looks explosive, is coming off the edge for the most part, has good instincts just in general. So I like it, man. I mean, you get him over Baylor, but as I said, he took the official to Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Had
one planned, I believe. Yeah, had some big-time offers, too, from big programs that are recruiting rivals of Texas and also just some other blue-blood-type programs in college football. So, yeah, this guy coming off a really, really good junior year in high school, expecting big things from him in 2021, and then, of course, coming to Texas as part of the class of 2022. So, another get for Steve Sarkisian. That's the 15th commitment for the Longhorns for next year's class, which currently ranks number 11 in the country, number 2 in the Big 12 Conference behind Oklahoma. KD, the move to the SEC. I don't know how much that impacted Derek Brown, because a lot of the crystal ball projections have had Derek Brown leading Texas for a while. So I don't know if, what was it, 2 weeks ago's news, last week's news, it's all kind of cluttered together at this point. Whenever the writing was on the wall that Texas was going to the SEC, I don't know if this news or that news affected this news right here, but you have to assume that's going to help Texas a little bit with recruiting, not only for this class, but also classes moving forward.
I don't see it hurting.
Right.
Right. I mean, how does that all of a sudden he go, oh, I don't want to go play with the best, or if they're going to create a super conference, I don't want to be a part of it. But it's going to help some guys. It's going to be a moot point for others, or just kind of an equalizer. And you go, you know, that's good, but it's not why I'm coming here. So we'll find out with some of these guys, but it's obviously going to help some guys.
Yeah, it'll help Texas for sure. I mean, we all know recruiting hasn't been the biggest issue here. And despite the results on the field the last 10 years, recruiting has still been fine. Despite all of the coaching transition we've had around these parts, recruiting has been fine. Hell, a down year for Texas recruiting-wise is better than most teams ever have.
Yep.
but this will help. I think it won't hurt is a good way to describe it, too, because we know the SEC has the reputation of being the best conference in college football. They also have a reputation of sending more guys to the league than any other conference. And that's been a big issue with Texas. That's also been a huge problem with the Big 12.
Yep.
Like, the numbers are out there. We talk about it, how easy it is to negatively recruit Texas. Katie, it's pretty easy to negatively recruit the Big 12 with some of that stuff that's out there. Like, Alabama, it feels like some years will have almost as many draft picks as the entire Big 12 conference. And look, we're not claiming conference pride. I'm not beating my chest saying SEC, SEC here. But that will help, I think, on the recruiting trail, being able to sell that and also going up against the best competition in college.
Yeah, it's going to help. Some of that narrative, as we've talked about, was kind of unfair for the Big 12. And some of it were just numbers and saying, hey, here's draft picks, right? And so you can talk about how a team may finish, but these are individually the guys we have playing in this league right now. It's going to help, number one, though, and still number one, specifically for Texas, different from Oklahoma moving in, is they've got to prove that they will take this, that this new coaching staff will develop and scheme these guys up properly, and that there's going to be an elevated coaching game at Texas with development, scheming, and at the end of the game, at the end of the day, really utilizing guys to their best of their, you know, of their abilities, which we've seen guys have just been misused. And so there's obviously people who are pessimistic about thinking that Texas is a spot to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And if Sark changes that this year to go with the SEC, watch out.
I think you're dead on. I mean, if the development stuff doesn't change, then this move to the SEC doesn't matter that much.
No.
Like, in terms of recruiting, because the recruits are going to see that this is still a lingering problem with Texas. And we're talking about three head coaches now since Mack Brown that haven't been able to figure this deal out. So, yeah, if the development doesn't come, then it doesn't matter if Texas was leaving the Big 12 for the Mountain West. Like, you're going to feel it on the recruiting trail. It's almost amazing that Texas hasn't felt it yet, but, you know, you get a new coaching staff in here, you can sell that, that excites people, and it's still the brand, it's still Austin, it's still everything that UT has to offer, but you're dead on. Ultimately, if development is still something we're talking about on this station next year, 2 years, 5 years down the road, then we're going to be in a similar spot, just in a better conference.
Yeah.
That just doesn't mean too much.
No, it actually means you're in for trouble.
Yeah, a lot of trouble. Hey, we are 33 days away from Texas and Louisiana. We are 0 days away from the start of the Horns Top 20 Countdown. You ready for this thing?
Uh-oh. Let's go.
I think Trey put together this bit, so apologies in advance for how this may sound.
When you put that uniform on, you better come to work.
It's the Horn Top 20, brought to you by Allstat Beer. No impurities, no regrets. Number 20, the Louisiana Ragin' Cajuns.
What do we think of this fight song, KD?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not terrible. It's not one of those you just go, oh my God, how'd you even do this? But, yeah.
It's pretty lame.
Yeah.
Not a lot there. How about the club music that Trey threw in there at the start of that sounder?
Trey, what's going on here, man?
Felt like we were listening to Flex ATX with Snoop Daniel right there. Louisiana, the 20th ranked team on the Horn Top 20 Countdown. You know, we did this partially as a bit because Texas plays Louisiana and we wanted another excuse to talk about the Ragin' Cajuns.
Yep.
But KD, I don't think it's far-fetched to assume that Louisiana's going to start the year in the top 25, if not the top 20.
Right, and they're 10-1 last year. They returned 20 out of 22 starters and really at important spots. I'm guessing that the running back that they're bringing in, Chris Smith, who I think was a return guy for them as well and was pretty good, that he's going to be okay. And so they return a ton of guys. I mean, it's a little bit of a bit that it's just hard to believe that Louisiana, even just with respect, you know, if they go 10-1 again, if they would be voted 20 or higher, but they could be around that area. And so this is not too much of a bit.
Oh, Phil Steele says Louisiana has more returning production than any team in college football.
Yep.
And ESPN's metrics have Louisiana in the top five in terms of returning production in the entire country. So you mentioned it, 20 of 22 starters back. They've got a senior quarterback. And this is a group that's won and won a lot. I mean, Billy Napier's been there for 3 years. He's made the conference championship game in the Sun Belt all three seasons, and his team has gotten better every year. They started 7-7 in year one, which Well, that feels like it must have been a down year for the Sun Belt.
Yeah.
If you win 7 games and still play for your conference title. But then in year two, they go 11-3. And last year, as you mentioned, they go 10-1. They've gotten better every year. They actually ended last season ranked 15th in the AP poll. So this team is legit.
They could do it.
They could do it.
Yeah. And there's no doubt. I mean, I guess the question is, do they go 10-1 again, especially with Texas on the schedule? But last year, they had Iowa State on the schedule. And I remember, I mean, I watched that a couple times.
Yeah.
Because, of course, I recorded it. And it was just shocking to watch, but it was not an upset. And 31-14 tells you that. But if you watched it, I hate to be one of those guys, it wouldn't have been that close. There was an obvious team that should have won that game, and it was Louisiana.
No doubt about that. It wasn't close, I mean, and it wasn't a fluke either.
No, like it was not a fluke.
It wasn't like they just had two crazy plays or there were a couple of bad calls that shifted the game. Like, Louisiana was clearly the better team, and they were 3 scores better, clearly, than Iowa State last year. And we know how good Iowa State was last year.
Levi Lewis is not going to, because early on watching that thing, I was not impressed with his motion. And you're just thinking, I heard Chad call him a heaver.
Mm.
And yes.
How well does he know her?
I'm about to say, there is some of that in there. Maybe he's cleaned that up. But he was efficient, and he knew how to run the offense. And they've got the entire offensive line back. They got all the receivers back. They've got 10 out of 11 starters on defense back. Like, this was a really damn good football team.
They really were. And Billy Napier, their head coach, turned down the Auburn job this offseason. He's waiting for something bigger, right? Like, he's not long for the Louisiana job.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to stay there forever, but he's kind of going Matt Campbell with this thing.
I about to say, that was one of the cool things about watching that game. I thought, you two guys are on the same path.
Mm-hmm.
But you're waiting.
Billy Napier has had this game on his calendar for a long time. Now, it's easy to say, when you're a team like Louisiana and you play a team like Texas, of course it means a lot and you're going to be ready to go. But this means a lot for Billy Napier. Because he's got some job out there in mind. Maybe it's LSU, right? Ed Ogeron's seat feels to be warming up a little bit in Baton Rouge, which is crazy to say considering they won the national title 2 years ago. But it feels like that could happen. Maybe Billy Napier's waiting for that job. But KD, you know, if he comes into Austin and wins that game on September 4th, his stock is going to skyrocket. It's already high, but he might be like the hottest coaching commodity outside of Matt Campbell in the sport.
All these coaches that move up, Tom Herman did this. There were two big wins that you just have on your resume, and it's a talking point and repeated by whatever fan base, big fan base hires you. We certainly know that. And for Tom Herman, it was the Oklahoma game and then what, Florida State?
Florida State and the bowl game, yep.
Those were the two,
mm-hmm.
right? And he needs one more to go with Iowa State and to go with the records you talked about. So 7-7, then 11-3, 10-1, throw in another 10-1, or for them, hell, maybe 11-0, or be 12-0 probably, that where you've got Texas as that big one there, at least name value.
Yeah, I mean, for Louisiana, there's a good chance they're favored in every game outside of Austin this year. So if they come in and beat Texas, you know, Billy Napier's a hot coaching commodity, but all of a sudden we're talking about a New Year's Six team. And maybe, I doubt it because the playoff is not expanding yet, but maybe a team that's in the discussion for a college football playoff spot if there's enough chaos around the country. I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's pretty clear now that we've eliminated non-Power 5 schools from the 4-team playoff, which is why I'm an advocate of college football playoff expansion. But if they win that game here in Austin, they're going to be probably ranked in the top 15, and you're talking about, once again, a team that's going to be expected to win every single game for the rest of the way. So they're good, man. They've got a lot of guys coming back. You mentioned it. They've got a great coach. They've got a lot going for them. And as of right now, look, I think Texas is going to win that game as of right now, 33 days out. But I think it's going to be close. Closer than Vegas thinks. Because Vegas is in between like 11 points to 14 points right now. That feels like a little bit too much. I think this one could be tough and tight. And hopefully Sark has his guys ready because, you know, the Cajuns will be.
Yeah, no, they're going to be ready to go. They've been circling this. And as Texas has been learning, installing, which is already installed, we talked to Bijan about that, and then learning and trying to soak all that up and then throw it out there and see what it looks like. Now, they're obviously going to have summer camp. These guys are just tuning up what they do really well.
Yeah.
And so they're probably adding to it, and this would be the game where you throw it all out there and say, hey, if we do have some trickeration or some things, just some little things that are counters off of what we usually do, we throw them here.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the game. That's the game for them. So 33 days away, Texas and Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns, the number 20 team on the Horn Top 20 countdown presented by Altstadt Beer. We'll talk a little bit about Louisiana throughout the show. If you're new to the Horn Top 20 Countdown, feels pretty self-explanatory. Each day, we'll pick a team to focus on, and we'll count them down from 20 to 1. So we'll do 20 to 16 this week, 15 to 11 next week, so on and so forth, previewing what we think will be the top 20 teams in college football in 2021. KD, camp for Texas begins on Friday. Jordan Whittington had an interview with Orange Bloods.
Yeah.
The first interview of that exclusive NIL deal that they have. It was pretty cool. It's posted on YouTube, so it's not behind the Orange Bloods paywall. Go support Orange Bloods and all of the insider sites if you can. But this thing is for public access on YouTube. And it was a nice conversation, about 20 minutes long, with Anwar Richardson and Jordan Whittington. And they talked about the coaching staff, the quarterback competition, some of the happenings going on with Texas football right now. And here is Jordan Whittington. We'll start with some of his comments about the coaching staff, the offensive staff. And, man, there's a recurring theme with players that you've heard throughout the spring and into the summer, and I think you hear it from Jordan Whittington. Here he is talking about the offensive staff.
And so just first off, the coaches, every single one of them is amazing. And I just remember me and some of my teammates just watching the Alabama game, seeing the offense, and then actually having him come here and we running it in the spring it was like this has a chance to be great. You know, just having opportunities to get open, he'll get you open, you know, and just beating man one-on-one is type of offense it is. You know, you got to be able to beat man. You got to be able to go.
Two recurring themes for me, KD. Number one, it feels like every player has had high praise for Sark and this staff as people, right? You've heard awesome. You've heard relatable. You've heard personable. Haven't heard a bad thing about these coaching staff members yet, which is good news. But also the other thing, I mean, when you watch Alabama last year, you know exactly what Jay Witt's talking about. Scheming guys open and giving skill position players favorable matchups. Hopefully that will happen here, and hopefully those guys can win those matchups.
We were doing the same thing. We were watching that, especially in the championship game, watching that and thinking, oh, my God, this is going to be nice to have this. And regardless of whether Sark works or not, I think he will. And by work, we know Lincoln Riley is a good coordinator. We knew that. We knew that back at ECU, right? Mm-hmm. But can you actually put together a program? And I've just seen too many guys in my life that are good on one side of the ball and are great coordinators but can't do that. And I think Sark's going to be able to really do that. He proved that a little bit rebuilding Washington, but this is a different thing. So the play calling, though, is going to be there. And the fact that these guys are excited is great. Yeah, the fact that there haven't been any leaks about players unhappy with the coaching staff. I mean, I think he did a good job. I've always said you rarely nail. I mean, I don't know of any staff that was like completely perfect to begin with. There have been some that are close, but I really like the structure of it.
Yeah, me too. And you might think, the listener might think, well, the same stuff probably happened with Tom Herman, right? The same things were probably said when Tom Herman first got here. Man, by this time in Tom Herman's tenure, we had reports of players not being happy. Remember that first meeting Tom Herman had with the players where he was apparently telling everybody to sit the F up in their chair and he was yelling nonstop? You had the report about Tom Herman talking to parents saying, don't talk to the media. You had reports about Tom Herman talking to the media saying, hey, this is how things are going to go. We haven't heard any of that stuff.
No.
Surrounding Steve Sarkisian yet. So that right there tells me the dude's more personable and more likable already than what Tom Herman was coming in.
Yeah, and someone where Whittington is too, we know that he's one of those versatile weapons. And so it was good to hear someone who's already been working with it, seen the installation and done it, and as he said, ran those plays in practice. Hey, this is working so far. So the offense should be good. I'm optimistic.
Good. Love it. 33 days away from the season opener, Texas and Louisiana. Of course, we'll have that game for you right here on the Horn. We'll have every Texas game for you right here on the flagship station for Texas Longhorn Athletics. When we come back...
Be careful with that one.
I was very close.
Yeah, be careful with that one.
Not glad you caught that, actually. I was hoping you didn't, but man, I'm not going to
Well,
you can
tell that I let it sink in for a second. I go, no, we don't have to dump it.
Is it knocking at the door?
It is.
Sink?
It's close.
Nah, go let him in, man. All right, we're going to break. When we come back, Quinn Ewers. We've talked about him a lot on these airwaves over the last year and a half. We've got another reason to talk about him, perhaps a monumental decision that he is making. We'll get into it and discuss if it's going to change high school and college sports forever. Next.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Triple Option with RBKD. We got Brad Kellner and Kevin Dunn. Rod Babers. Rod's a married man now.
He gone.
Man, he is gone. He's been gone, though. So, it's just official now.
Yeah, it hurts. Felt like we had a chance to maybe stop things before they got this far.
He was in a commitment coma for a long time.
Yeah.
Now he's dead.
Goodbye, stranger.
Yeah. See you later. This is a classic song.
It is.
Love this one.
Thanks.
I love your old soul feel for not only sports but music.
Appreciate that, man. Yeah, this one's in honor of saying goodbye to independent Rod B.
Yeah.
That'd be the theme of music while he's gone.
Also, goodbye to Quinn Ewers. If you're South Lake Carroll.
Yep.
So I'm a high school football nerd, so we can throw out all individual interest on the table. Okay, BK?
Cool.
And my individual interest is for Quinn Ewers, for the first off, the UIL, because he's 18, and I'll get into, even if he was 17 and 16, to allow these guys to make some money off that. Okay? But the UIL has to do that.
Right, because every other high school student can make money off of name, image, and likeness, but high school student athletes cannot.
Yeah.
Similar problem with college, right? It's why I was so in favor of NIL for college athletes.
I was too.
Because every other student in college can make money off of name, image, and likeness. Except the guys bringing in a lot of money from the schools for some reason were unable to do so. I know the money in high school is not where the money in college sports is, but athletics still helps with some things with the rest of the school. And look, anybody should be able to make money on themselves.
They should. Life. Now, I've been on that boat for a little while, but also trying to be realistic about there needs to be some regulation of this, right? And there needs to be someone to do that, and that's not the case right now. So, of course, they didn't set it up real well, but it's the right thing to do. So the UIL, right now, they will penalize you, and by that, I mean, what, all your games will be forfeited and you won't be eligible.
That's a penalty.
That's a penalty. The ultimate one, you're out if you end up taking part in name, image, and likeness. So Quinn Ewers, number one recruit, South Lake Carroll. Anyway, I'm selfishly, I wanted him to stay in. I want the UIL to change that, but for him to stay in, because, man, I wanted to see Westlake and Carroll in the semis or finals at some point and kind of see that battle again, because he's damn good.
Yeah, it was a great battle last year in the state championship game, and you feel like Westlake has a chance to three-peat, and you feel like South Lake Carroll has a chance to get back to the state championship game, or at least make a deep run into the 6A playoffs here in Texas. So it is a little disappointing. It has to be disappointing if you're a South Lake Carroll fan, because you kind of feel like you were left at the altar.
Yeah.
No pun there.
No, I gotcha.
It has nothing to do with what happened with Rod. Everything was good at their wedding on Saturday night, just to be clear.
All good.
But this is wild.
It happened.
This is wild. It did happen. And Quinn Ewers tweeted it out. So we had a report from Justin Wells of Inside Texas. He actually, I think, had the first report this morning that this was going to go down.
There you go, Justin.
And then a couple hours later, Quinn Ewers confirmed the report. He tweeted out, quote, "Over the past few weeks, following Texas UIL informing me I would be prohibited from profiting off of my own name, image, and likeness, I've taken time to think about what lies ahead of me, both in the short and long term. It's unfortunate I found myself in this situation, as my preference would have been to complete my senior season at South Lake Carroll along with the teammates and friends I've taken the field alongside for the past 3 years. However, following conversations with my family and those I know have my best interest in mind, I've decided it's time for me to enroll at Ohio State and begin my career as a Buckeye," end quote. This hurts because I love high school football. I love high school sports. I'm with you 100%. And it would have been fun to watch Quinn Ewers as a senior lead South Lake Carroll, because that would have been a really, really damn good team. But I can't get too mad at the kid.
No, I'm not.
I just can't, man. And it's the reason why I don't get mad at people for leaving college early to go start their professional careers. You're making money. Like, that's the goal. When you're that good at something, your goal should be and is to make money.
Even if you're not, Jaden Blue I was good with.
And when you're, that's a good point. And when you're playing football, where on any given snap, you could be done, right? Any given snap could be your last playing this sport. Why not make some money? Like, it's easy to sit here and say, oh, Quinn Ewers was going to get paid anyways. He was going to get all that NIL stuff next year. But what happened if he get hurt? If he got hurt this year at South Lake Carroll? Couldn't play again. Like, that sounds far-fetched, but it's football. And that type of stuff happens all the time. So, once again, it feels disappointing. Now, if I'm a Southlake fan, if I'm a teammate of Quinn Ewers, I'm a little disappointed too. But it's hard for me to criticize the young man and his family that much because he's got a chance to make a lot of money. I mean, they're talking about maybe seven figures for Quinn Ewers as soon as he gets to Columbus. It's tough for anybody to turn that amount of money down.
Yeah, and he could have made that in high school. We're going to see where this all goes. So if you're 18, then let's assume the UIL said, okay, we're losing too many kids. We're going to allow this. Then if you're 18, you're an adult. So you wouldn't need your parents' signature because you get into the whole minor thing, right? And how is that going to affect it? So if you're 17, as long as your parents, which the Ewers were, really wanted this to happen, as long as they're cool with it, then you can sign it. Now, the only problem there is then at that point, you've got a minor whose his money is being controlled by parents, and this would be the edge of that, but you could see situations legally where they're worried about it turning into a Britney Spears type thing.
Mm. And my question to you was going to be, and you kind of segued it perfectly, is Quinn Ewers about to start something? Like, is this about to be a trend here with really good high school student-athletes, not just football players, but high school student-athletes who are so high-profile in high school that they could go to college and immediately have an NIL deal waiting for them? Like, is this going to happen if UILs in Texas and also just other high school regulations across the country, if they don't change things?
I don't think it starts this huge trend, but, yeah, it's going to happen again. He's not going to be the last. Mm-hmm. Not going to be the first and the last. Now, it's going to be special like that, so it's got to be someone who is arguably the top recruit in his class.
Yeah, which right? is what Quinn Ewers is.
Right. So I had to throw that in there, you know.
Just arguably. Because,
I've had some arguments about it.
There you go.
But no, he's really damn good. And it's got to be someone who can sell like that and is at a program like South Lake Carroll and is going to a program like Ohio State. And we'll also see where this goes in 2 or 3 years. I do think there's going to be some regulations. They're testing this out and see, okay, here are some things you can and can't do. So there's going to be, now's the time to get in if you're going to get in.
Do you think this gets to a point where the UIL has to change their rules? Like, it seems fair for them to change their rules, but generally rule changes don't happen with them unless they absolutely have to happen with
right.
them.
Right. So they're not going to be on the front end or the proactive end.
I don't think because of this Quinn Ewers news,
forced into it.
They're all of a sudden going to change their mind on name, image, and likeness.
I don't either.
But if this becomes a trend, then they might have to. If they start losing a bunch of players in every sport and the balance of power is tipped, and I don't know, parents are complaining, that's probably what spearheads most of the changes with them, then does it get to a point where they have to accommodate these requests?
You hit the nail on the head. That would be to where, yeah, with football, basketball, and baseball, to where they're losing enough, and you pile that up. And they also see the writings on the wall, which is what a lot of these NCAA, what a lot of these really – bureaucrats will do is just wait till, okay, writing's on the wall and then go.
Yeah, it's weird because, you know, parents would pay for their student athletes, for their students in high school to make some money, right?
Yeah.
Like parents, local business owners are parents.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, in Austin, I think about Westlake, you think about Lake Travis, but any of these Austin area mm-hmm. schools, there would be parents willing to lend their business to help students make some money off of name, image, and likeness.
Yeah.
So there's a way, like, UIL is the thing that's stopping it, is my point. I think parents would be happy to get involved. Now, that could create some problems, because we know how youth sport parents are. They'd be mad at each other. Why is this kid getting this? Why is my kid getting this?
They already are.
It already is happening, and it would probably get worse.
Add this.
I think, I wonder if parents contact the UIL and say, we really want this thing to happen. And if this doesn't happen, then I'm not going to send my kid to play sports for you anymore.
It's crazy. Yeah. I tell you what, these kids have a lot to live up to. They already did, but now you throw in $1 million contract, and it's like, you better not be a bust.
And Ohio State's quarterback room is loaded right now.
It is.
Like, from a timing perspective, the only reason Quinn Ewers is doing this, I think, is for money. I don't think that's a hot take or anything like that, but and you could make a case of,
but it's not one of those where he'd definitely be the starter right now.
Exactly.
And we go, he just wants to get in there.
Exactly. Or there's like another really, really talented quarterback in his class, and he wants to get in ahead of that guy. Like, Ohio State's quarterback room is loaded with young dudes. They've got two redshirt freshmen right now. C.J. Stroud, one of them. He's expected to be the starter for the Buckeyes this year.
Jack Miller.
But also Jack Miller. And then Kyle McCord, who's a freshman coming in this year. Like,
yeah,
we know the transfer numbers in college football, KD. Especially at the quarterback position. Rod B brings them up all the time. Like, 50% of blue-chip quarterbacks transfer. You don't play all four of those guys, so odds are at least two of those dudes are going to enter the portal at some point in their college career.
Yeah.
Well, it could be all three of those guys, right? If one guy, like if C.J. Stroud takes this job and runs with it, and it's clear he's going to be the starter there for the next 3 years, do the other guys want to wait that long to get their chance to play? So that's, you know, it feels like a first-world problem. It feels like an embarrassment of Richardson. Wow, that's awesome. You got four really, really talented quarterbacks, but
it better play out well,
though. That's a tough situation for Ryan Day to handle.
Yeah, you're probably losing two, right?
Right.
And so Ewers comes in right away. Yeah, he can redshirt, but he also could have redshirted next year, and it's just sped up right now. So these guys better be really, really damn good.
Yeah. Wonder.
And they are, but it better translate.
I wonder if that's how we're going to get Quinn Ewers to Texas, through the portal.
It could be.
It can't happen through recruiting anymore.
No. I was thinking about it today, and I just thought, oh, that place is going to be a great place to raid. Like, keep an eye on that. And so for football nerds, if you watch someone watching the third stringer in when it's 70-0,
mm-hmm.
there's a reason for that.
Yeah, I'll be watching.
Because that third stringer can be Joe Burrow sometimes.
Ah, well done. Yeah, we've already seen that, right?
Yeah.
Best transfer quarterback of all time. Started at Ohio State. He was behind too many talented pieces, ended up going elsewhere, and won a Heisman Trophy and went 1-1 in the draft. Not bad.
I mean, the story of Jack Cohn this year.
You think so?
No, not at all.
Me neither.
Not at all.
No. Watch that guy at Wisconsin.
Not impressed.
To know that that's... not going to be the case.
Here's a funny thing, though. Everyone has their bubble. I'm getting good reports out of South Bend.
Okay.
Good reports. I'm like, you mean the cone I watched at Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Nah, that system, it made it look like a puffy arm.
Okay.
All right.
Well, this Wisconsin we're talking about. They have not adapted to the 21st century in terms of offense.
Hey, just because they want to run ISO and some counter trays and some pretty good traps. They do some good things with their offensive line. But just run the ball and run the ball and run the ball and then play action, don't get on them.
No, it's not bad. It's just not
It's
what we think of modern football.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's what they were doing a long time ago.
They win a lot of games.
Yeah.
They really do.
Been a better program than Texas. I was going through that the other day.
All time?
No. God, no. Okay. No. I'm talking the last 5-10 years.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Anybody has.
Yeah.
The bar's pretty low there.
Time.
That's what I was like, what are you talking
about?
Come on. I know. Well, the last 10 years I felt like was a given.
I give you that list. I send it to you at least 4 times a year.
Yeah.
You say, thanks, I appreciate it. I try and do it on a Jewish holiday.
I appreciate
it. Or around there.
Give me something to read while I'm in Temple.
There you go.
I need that. That's good content. All right, Quinn Ewers is off to Ohio State. He is foregoing his senior year at South Lake Carroll, and he will enroll in Columbus and join the Buckeyes football program this season. He could play this year if he's good enough. Crazy, crazy story. We'll see if it starts a trend with high school athletes everywhere. It's the Triple Option with RBKD alongside Kevin Dunn. I am BK Brad Kellner. When we return, our countdown to Texas football continues. 33 days away from the season opener. Who are the best 33s in school history? And since we weren't here yesterday, we take a look at number 34. I think you know who the best 34 in Longhorn history is. We'll talk about it next. I will remember you. Will you remember me? Welcome back. The Triple Option.
This one's too far.
What do you mean?
I mean, he's not that far gone. This is just too emotional.
It is pretty emotional.
Yeah, he's gonna be all right.
Am I gonna be all right?
I don't know.
I think this song is about my emotions towards independent Rod B leaving us. Rod Babers not here. He'll be back on Thursday, but it'll be a different Rod Babers.
Mm-hmm.
He tied the knot over the weekend. We're very happy for him in all seriousness.
Yeah.
But we are saying goodbye to independent Rod with our rejoin music today.
Telling you, the good thing is I've had friends like this that where if they've already been in that mode, then we already know them.
Yeah.
As long as she doesn't change on them. But then if she changes too much on them, you get independent Rod back. But that's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
It's happened with some of my buddies.
Hope it doesn't happen.
It's not going to happen.
It won't happen.
I guarantee that's going to work.
You're going to like the way you look. I guarantee it.
I guarantee it.
Welcome back to the show. Before we get to our...
That's a pretty good, pretty cool beard.
Men's Warehouse guy?
Yeah, he's been rocking that forever.
Is he dead?
I don't know. Okay. What's his name again? He says it there.
I think it's Men's Warehouse guy.
No.
I guarantee
it. I'm George Fairbanks.
Is
I don't know why I just went Brewster's Millions on it.
Okay.
I forgot what his name was. Mm. But yeah, those commercials have been around forever.
They have been around forever. Hey, how about this? Before we get to our countdown to kickoff and talk about the best 34s and 33s in Texas football history, we do have some breaking news. Brew McCoy. Do you remember that name, KD?
Is he coming back to Texas?
Not yet.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I remember that name.
I think every Texas fan does.
I think every college football fan does. He was one of those all-timers
mm-hmm.
in terms of flipping and flopping and all that.
One of the craziest recruitments ever. And it was not just a recruitment that ended when he got to college. It continued throughout his first year of college. Brew McCoy has apparently been suspended from USC team activities. He was arrested on suspicion of a felony more than a week ago.
Whoa.
This is a report from USCFootball.com. He was charged with intimate partner violence with injury, according to an LAPD spokesperson.
Is it domestic violence? Sexual assault?
Yeah, intimate partner violence with injury. It does sound like domestic violence. Maybe different name for California than what we have here.
Okay.
That's what the report I'm reading says. He was released on $50,000 bail back on July 24th. He is scheduled to appear in court on November 24th. So that's obviously towards the end of the season. Right now, Brew McCoy suspended from all team activities. He might not be available for the Trojans this year.
That's big. I was reading a 24/7 article recently, and it was from the USC people, and they were getting into who's really going to be important for them this year. And I have to follow them. I feel like I have to follow half of the Major League Baseball teams now because a lot of my guys are over there.
Mm.
So
yeah.
It does feel like Texas is out west. And just it's always USC. You kind of want to know what's going on with them. And Brew McCoy was right there. That they thought, hey, this could be a guy that could really come on.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason we were all excited about the possibility of Brew McCoy joining Texas, right? When he ultimately committed and signed with Texas, he's a five-star kid, one of the top 10 players in the country 2 years ago. He's got a bunch of potential and a lot of talent. Obviously, the start of his career was marred by transferring a bunch of times. He had to sit out a year after he went back to USC. Now dealing with this as well. So crazy situation there, man. Maybe Texas dodged a bullet with Brew McCoy. Of course, just allegations at this point. We'll wait and see how the legal process plays out. But yeah, a guy who was expected to contribute a lot for the Trojans in 2021, suspended indefinitely from team activities.
What number was Brew McCoy here? Because we never really, did he ever have one here? I'm sure they would have given him one.
I think it was a single-digit number.
CB?
Is it 9? 3? 6? I don't know why I want to say one of those. Like a Schoolhouse Rock song I just started there.
Yeah.
But out of order completely. I don't know. CB will let us know. Somebody will let us know. Didn't play enough, though, to warrant a number.
No.
Hmm. One guy who did play enough to warrant a number. He also warranted to have his number retired.
Well done.
It's Ricky Williams.
Yep.
We're 33 days away from Texas and Louisiana, but of course we were not here yesterday, so we'll take a look at 34 before going to 33. The accolades for Ricky Williams, just ridiculous.
Oh, you put Ricky 1 here?
Yeah.
Okay, there was a guy in 1987 that you didn't see. Now,
tell me about him.
No.
Okay.
I'm not going to give you Darren Norris.
Like, I don't
well,
know.
I like Darren
I don't know
Norris.
Any other 34s.
Like Darren
Norris is one of them.
Yeah, there you go.
Sorry about that, Darren. You want me to go through some of the accolades for Ricky Williams?
Please.
Of course, the Heisman Trophy winner in 1998. All this stuff comes from TexasSports.com, so if it's wrong, blame them.
Yep.
He completed his Texas career with 21 NCAA and 46 school records. He, of course, broke the NCAA rushing record in his final home game of his career, passing a 22-year-old record held by Tony Dorsett. 3-time first-team All-Conference back, 2-time Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year. All-time records included rushing touchdowns, total touchdowns, points, games with a touchdown, 200-yard games, and yards per carry. One of only two players to win the Doak Walker Award twice, which, of course, is given out to the nation's top running back. Helped Texas claim the final Southwest Conference championship in 95 and the first Big 12 title in 96, and then went on to be a first-round pick by the New Orleans Saints, fifth overall in 1999. Also rushed for more than 10,000 yards in the league, despite being suspended a lot for something he shouldn't have been suspended for.
Boy, Ricky would have been just better off in general if that Ricky Williams at 17 came here in 2021.
Oh, man.
With where weed is going, at least publicly, but then also legally, and certainly with NIL, what he would have made.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine that? And that actually kind of, just to top off the Brew McCoy conversation, that'll be one of those examples where once this thing plays out more, not only more regulations, but also the people that are actually paying the money, there's going to be some market correction. Because they're going to take some risks that they think are definitely going to help out. And Brew McCoy would have been one of those. Brew McCoy could have been one of these $600,000 guys we're already talking about.
It's a good point. Five-star. Highly touted. Had a lot of clout coming in.
So I do think the timeline will back up. That'll be part of the market correction where it's hey, let's make sure they do something at least in college. But then you don't want to be late. I get that. But you won't be late. You can always add on with your business, and they'll take more money.
No doubt.
That'll go from $1 million to $2
million. Very true. By the way, the Twitch chatters and texters have come through. Brew McCoy were number five during a short
five. Stint. Yeah, I thought it was single digit. Mm-hmm. Is that one of the six you mentioned?
No.
I don't think so.
Believe it or not.
All right.
I did mention six, but that didn't do us any good there. What about 33, KD?
Yeah.
David Benda is your current number 33, by the way. Hoping for big things from him at the linebacker spots.
I'll give you one of the first running backs that I really remember, and this guy was electric. I mean, for a short period of time, was electric. I can remember OU game, and Texas was just starting to hit that mire, but you thought they were going to be out of it, just like any time. Just like in 2012, you thought, okay, well, it's been 2010, 2011, 2012, or at the end of this year, it's been three bad seasons. We can get out of this. Mm. And bad really relative to what they'd done for 10 years, where you won 11 games, right?
Yeah.
So this was not a good Texas team, but he was good. And then some things happened off the field, and pretty, pretty crazy story. And it just kind of disappeared. Edwin Simmons.
Mm. I had his name written down. I didn't realize there was a backstory with Edwin Simmons.
Edwin Simmons, yeah. And I don't know if I feel comfortable telling it on the air.
Okay.
I don't know if we have before. I may talk to you off the air. I think you know about it, and we'll put our heads together. Not that that's the crew that you want. That's not the committee you want.
No.
Okaying stuff.
No, not at all. Seems like the worst idea ever. That's why we need Rod.
But yeah, Edwin Simmons is a guy I know a lot of Texas fans here at 33, and they think of him. Priest Holmes.
Priest Holmes, a great 33. Yeah. Deontay Foreman, another great running back at Texas to wear 33, won the Doak Walker Award back in 2016.
Steve Edman. Who's not as good as a lot of those guys we just mentioned, but was a good player.
Yeah. Lamar Houston.
Great he player. Was on some loaded teams.
Mm-hmm. Gary Johnson wore 33 for a while. Very good linebacker here recently. Mike Dowdle.
Yeah.
Craig Potts. No relation to the Ricky Williams conversation.
Dowdle, how do you pronounce him?
Oh, boy.
No, I'm losing it right now.
Screw that one up.
Scott
Derry.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Those are all 33s.
Yeah, we're hitting a lot of different spots here.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, I know. We're known for that.
Yeah, speak for yourself, man. 33, I think that's it. Who's the best of those guys? Best 33? Priest Holmes had an awesome NFL career. If we're talking about entirety of football career, I think Priest Holmes would be your answer. But just keeping it on the 40 acres, I think Deontay Foreman had a better Texas career statistically than Priest Holmes did, right?
Yeah, he did in college, but Priest Holmes would be your guy.
Yeah.
For some reason, I just look back on him and say Priest Holmes.
Yeah, I want to say that too.
Yeah.
And I think most Texas fans would probably go with Priest Holmes.
You're going to hear the story about Edwin and think it's Edwin.
Okay. Oh, awesome. Well, let's go to break then. We're also supposed to, but really it's because I want to hear that story during the break. 33 days away from Texas football. Let us know if we missed anybody. The Specs text line 337-3776. 1 hour in the books of a Monday edition of the Triple Option with RBKD. When we come back, we'll talk about some NFL news that dropped over the weekend. Some of this news actually involves and relates to a lifetime Longhorn. Plus, it's game week. That's right. This week we will have live football. Every week from now till February, we will have live football. We'll preview the Hall of Fame game between the Cowboys and the Steelers next.